Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we're welcoming Brent Rempe, President and CEO of First Alliance Credit Union, headquartered in Rochester, Minnesota. Brent is a fellow credit union junkie, credit union development educator, or DE for short, and all-around good guy. Welcome, Brent.
Thank you, Ben and Sue. Really glad to be here.
Well, I am extremely excited to have you here because we had beef, and I'm just going to publicly out you because I am settling our beef right now, and I am recording it.
Get it on the record, yeah.
Yeah, getting it on the record. You reached out. You said you did a whole series last year about purpose and did not have me on, is what you said to me. And then you said purpose is my jam, quote unquote. So you're here now. I feel I've settled our beef. Do you agree?
Overall, besides the fact it's now public.
Yes.
I feel there's something about the simplicity and exclamation teams that like to publicly bring out the beef.
Yeah.
For instance, I told Sarah Arnoldy privately the other day, she has this cute little French bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her I was going to find her house and jack her dog. And she publicly outs me on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we want to make sure that you know that we are watching you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We see you as some sort of an influence, and our eyes are on you at all times.
Well, yes, our beef is settled too.
Okay, good. Good. So now let's go.
All right.
Let's
get into it.
Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, Leroy Jenkins. Yes. Do you know the reference, Ben?
No.
Okay. Let's just not tell him. It'll be
there
fun.
You go. That works for me. I'm hoping some of your listeners got the reference and giggled similar to you, Sue.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of nerd culture for you. So now, Brent, tell the audience what you meant when you told me purpose is my jam.
Yeah. So for me, I've never been a person that really was extrinsically or money motivated. I've always found my purpose or my drive intrinsically motivated. So for instance, enjoying the work or believing in the cause versus having some reward or carrot or stick, if you will, at the end. So extrinsic motivation is that carrot or stick. Intrinsic motivation is that purpose, that drive, that common mission. And at a very young age, found myself being mission-driven, which I now would qualify as purpose-driven. So that's what I meant by purpose-driven, is I've always found I work harder when it comes to that intrinsic motivation, that purpose, knowing what I'm working towards in the contribution I'm making to this world rather than the personal gain.
And what do you owe that to? Is that the way your family was, or?
Not 100%. I do think family of origin definitely played a role. So my mom was a stay-at-home mom and showed me at a very young age the value of volunteerism. So I think some of it's that, but really I owe a lot of that development going to Catholic high school. So I'm a product of two Catholic high schools, South Point Catholic in Tucson, Arizona, and Bishop Kelly in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And between the two of those schools, I think the theology classes in particularly, especially that social justice, I guess, slant on the Catholic social teaching, really appealed to me and drove into that volunteerism that my mom instilled in me. And so I think between my mother and then the formation I had in Catholic high school really set that purpose drivenness in me.
So it sounds like pretty big moments in formative years through high school and Catholic school and things like that. Would you say that's your first memory of the acknowledgement that, hey, this is actually what motivates me, this is what I care about? Or did it happen sooner or later? Was it cemented at some other point?
Yeah, I seem to remember I was in the Builders Club, which is a Kiwanis middle school version of the Kiwanis Club.
Sure.
I was at public middle school, and I was active in middle school in several different areas and started to instill some of that volunteerism, whether it's through newspaper or yearbook or the Builders Club and some of the volunteerism that's associated with Builders Club. So I think I started realizing that in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. But it was really that Catholic high school formation that I think made me rationalize or metacognate, think about my thinking on that.
Cool. So, I mean, this is something you've been thinking about for a long time, something that you've recognized for a long time, and knowing that you're currently CEO of a credit union, I imagine there's a whole lot of stuff in between that's happened that this acknowledgement and motivation has helped you kind of on your journey. So tell us a bit about your career path, your life path. Where did you start? I want to know everything from graduation to CEO.
Oh, let's go back to birth.
Sure. Yeah.
Start, okay. Like,
let's just dig in.
Yeah.
I was born, I believe, on a Thursday, January 8th, 1981. 10 something p.m., like 10:32 p.m., Tulsa, Oklahoma. No. I really, from, I guess, college graduation, or even right before graduation, I think I started realizing there's a cognitive dissonance between my education and my classmates and that motivation. Mm-hmm. And so I was at Oklahoma State University as a business major. You guys appreciate this, a marketing major, a finance minor.
Nice.
So I have my bachelor's in business administration. And in the finance classes, I held off my minor to the end and really started enjoying the content and the principles of finance. But I looked at my classmates and realized they were motivated a little bit differently than myself. So really wanting to participate in what I like to call the exploitative economy, like trying to get rich quick off of others. Mm. And I struggled with that. So that's where the cognitive dissonance, that mental struggle came in. And as a business major, decided what I was going to do was actually go volunteer in AmeriCorps. So the domestic version of the Peace Corps, it's a federal program that provides essentially as a postgraduate or as not always postgraduate, but a volunteer program. So as an AmeriCorps member or AmeriCorps volunteer in Portland, Oregon, for 2 years out of college, and I was working, going back to Catholic school. So I was working at Del Sound North Catholic High School in Portland, Oregon, helping run a work study program. And that really brought meaning and purpose to my life every day in school. So I was there for 2 years as a volunteer, 2 years as an employee. Went to start another Cristo Rey school. So there's a network of about 40 schools nationwide that really, so the Cristo Rey schools serve low to moderate income individuals. Hmm. So folks that couldn't typically afford private high school tuition, and they offset the cost, the students themselves offset the cost of that tuition through that work study program. Hmm. So administered that for a total of 6 years between two schools, 4 years in Portland, 2 years in Kansas City, helped the school in Kansas City get their start. From there, decided to go on for a master's degree and ended up back in Tulsa, University of Oklahoma, Tulsa, organizational dynamics, thinking I was making the transition back into business or into business, and instead ended up teaching middle school for 3 years. I was teaching financial literacy, economics, entrepreneurship, college and career readiness. And just it's just very interesting to me how like life comes full circle too. So my principal of this school was the chairman, well, became chairman of the board, but was a board member at Tulsa Teachers Credit Union, or TTCU. And I was working, teaching financial literacy in a grant-funded initiative, where actually the chairman of the board, the funder, had his own family fund, George Kaiser, and he is chairman of the board of Bank of Oklahoma. So our funder was a banker, and yet, because of the influence of this principal, we opened up over 660 children's savings accounts at TTCU. Hmm. And that really made my transition from schools to credit unions. That started, even though I was working over the school side, started working closely with credit unions in that program. And I'll say, I felt every day in education, I was making a difference. I was living a mission-driven life. I had a purpose. I was in a professional network for a group of financial literacy advocates called Oklahoma Jumpstart Coalition for Financial Literacy, and met a number of folks in the credit union world. Cynthia Campbell, who was at Tinker Federal Credit Union at the time. She was the president of the Jumpstart Coalition. Nate Gillen, who was at Weoki Federal Credit Union at the time. And actually, Nate learned about me and my work through TTCU and recruited me to Weoki to run their educational programs, both internal through professional development of the employees at Weoki, as well as external, which included financial literacy programs and some of their external facing programs, like similar to what Simplicity does, like the different school programs of financial literacy at school programs. And so that really created the transition, but didn't really enjoy credit unions at first. So my first year and a half, I struggled to find that purpose.
Why was that?
What about it held you up?
Yeah, for me, it didn't realize the depth of credit unions and the fact we were founded on a social value. And so for me, it felt like I was participating in, I didn't quite know what I was participating in, right? So it felt very banky, if you will. Yeah. I couldn't really explain the difference between a bank and a credit union for my first year and a half in the movement. And then I went through credit union development education. And I met our mutual friend. She was my mentor, our mutual friend, the late Pat Wessenberg. And going through that week of credit union development education, having Pat, the former CEO of Simplicity, and I believe she was on Explanation's board as well. I helped found Explanation with you all. She helped me realize what credit unions stand for. And from there on, I became a lifer. Transitioned between from Weoki, went to CUNA Mutual briefly, which is now TruStage. Decided that thought I'd be making more of an impact by serving more credit unions, but then realized that it was the credit unions and serving the individual natural person member that motivated me. Ended up back at an Oklahoma City credit union, Allegiance, as chief lending officer. Was there for about 5 years. And about a year and a half ago, became CEO here at First Alliance.
Love it. Thanks for sharing the journey. You know, we've had, I think one of our favorite questions with credit union people is like, you know, what was that credit union moment for them? We hear the story all the time about people kind of stumbling into credit unions or not really looking for the credit union opportunity, but, you know, they wind up there and then, you know, they become a lifer and all of that. But yours is a little interesting in that, you know, you were, I guess, recruited in or, you know, headhunted in or whatever, maybe. I imagine on some level, whether you knew it or recognized it at that time, or maybe you can now with hindsight, you were maybe pulled away a little bit because you were feeling this purpose and, you know, seeing it every day and, you know, through education and things like that, which I think is, I don't want to say it's like an easy way to feel or recognize or see purpose in your job. But I mean, that's just baked in education. Like you're literally like teaching people things, you know, so. It's just interesting how you got there. And I think the other thing that I really love about your story is how truly transformative DE must have been, you know, knowing that you were feeling like, I mean, to hear you say that you couldn't really tell a difference between a bank or a credit union, you couldn't explain it, and how DE can really help that understanding and, you know, help you kind of live and breathe that going forward. Speaking of my own experience, I mean, I already had a few like credit union light bulb moments before I went through DE. I mean, having Pat as our CEO at the time, like, I mean, you'd have to be ignorant to not have a few of those light bulb moments for sure. But DE was still very transformative for me too, even though I think I kind of got it before I went. But, you know, DE like really kind of cemented it for me. So it's cool to hear your perspective of going in and, just how truly transformational it must have been for you.
Yeah, it certainly was. And then the involvement afterward, like, and Pat was there among my first several DE experiences. So she was my mentor in September of 2015. So my 5-year anniversary is coming up in 8 months. 10-year anniversary.
10-year, yeah.
Been a DE for a decade.
Wow.
So 10-year anniversary is coming up. I mentored for the first time in 2016. Pat also served as a mentor of that class. And that's really where connected a little more with Pat afterward. Pat, Katie Zaleski, who is human resources at Simplicity, and I took a trip to Kenya together on a DE exposure tour or idea sharing tour. And then also had an opportunity to travel to Asia with Pat in 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
So those have been very meaningful experiences, and Pat really made a huge difference in my life. And without Pat, I don't think I'd be in the CEO position today.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Pat's always on her mind, and we know that you're one of many that she's had an impact on, right?
Yeah. It really, really touches my heart. The number of people that I have talked to, we had this experience after Pat's passing, where we put together a tribute video, which was so hard. But to be able to talk to people from all around the world, people that some people I had met, people I had never met, and see the impact that this person had, and every time, and actually when I went to DE in 2023, there were a couple of other people who came up, and shared an experience with her, and it just, I'm definitely not crying right now, but it always, like, it's one of those things where it can be hard to think about the people we've lost, but it's so beautiful to bring back those memories and think about how impactful she was.
Very much so. There's a quote that I was actually just reminded me of this, and I'm going to pull it up because I sent it to someone today. Just reminds me of what we're talking about right now. So I do a gratitude journal. And in the gratitude journal, today's quote from Albert Pike was, "What we have done for ourselves dies with us. What we have done for others in the world remains and is immortal." And if that doesn't capture the sentiment of what we were just talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Love it. All right. So we've talked a bit about the past. Got a little heavy there. Sorry, everybody. Let's talk about the future a little bit. You got this cool thing that's taken shape, Purpose-Driven Coffee. Tell us about that. What's Purpose-Driven Coffee all about?
Yeah. So this gentleman, also along the same topic, that's actually who I texted this morning, that message. Mick White is a gentleman. He founded the 100-Year Manifesto, which is all about trying to leave a legacy, not a financial legacy, but a legacy that echoes purpose, a life that echoes in to eternity is essentially his tagline. It's trying to leave an impact where for 100 years, and it's with your deeds and not with your treasure, for instance. So it's with your work. And several years ago, he started in St. Paul in 2023, started this group called Purpose Driven Coffee. So about 2 years ago, and it's just the whole idea. So it's not a typical networking. So, your networking events with the local chamber, you come with your business cards and you're very much trying to get contact. Purpose-driven coffee is just a whole bunch of people wanting to come together, purpose-driven leaders wanting to come together, listen to a speaker, and then have some real meaningful and authentic discussion around the topic. So there's a special guest every month. So it happens on the first Friday of every month. There's now 5 locations, 4 in the Twin Cities and 1 in Rochester. We are starting January 10th as our first meeting in Rochester. But we have a special guest. The special guest talks about their purpose journey into being a purpose-driven leader. And then we pause at several times. So they're not giving a speech or a talk. They're giving little bits of dialogue. And we pause and we ask a question of the audience. The audience then connects with 3 to 4 people. So that everyone that's attending connects with 3 to 4 people around them and has a really, I like to say, authentic discussion. I've been to 2 purpose-driven coffees in St. Paul, November, December. And I've just been found it incredibly meaningful. Rather than like these conversations I've had gotten really deep, really quick based on the venue and the intentionality of the coffee. So, you know, just feel connected to the 4 people for both sessions that I sat next to. Still message them occasionally on LinkedIn. So really hoping to bring that to Rochester. Is like Sue shared, I consider purpose my jam. That's where I want to spend a lot of energy this year, is on sharing purpose and helping other people find their purpose, both internally at the credit union as well as externally in our community, and felt that purpose-driven coffee was an avenue for that.
Can you give us an example of some of the questions that you discuss? Or, 'cause I love this idea so much.
Yeah. So our focus, a local realtor named Bucky Beeman is our first guest here in Rochester. And really, one of the questions that I have for him is going to be about failure, mm-hmm. and about how it's okay to fail. And then talking about how failure leads to a path forward. So that's one discussion, and that can get really personal and real, especially when you're talking with 3 to 4 people, that can get very personal. In December, we had someone who was part of the Zero Proof Collective. And so living in business, especially here in the upper Midwest, alcohol is really a part of our culture and part of our business culture. And there's a growing movement of folks who are wanting more and more zero proof drinks available. So still having a fancy cocktail without alcohol. So our guest was on that. We really talked about times where overindulgence, not just in alcohol, but in other areas, we all have our vices. I mean, for me, it's, you know, alcohol certainly been a vice in certain times of my life, as has food. I'm sure a lot of folks can relate to that. And just connecting and having these authentic conversations with essentially people who walked in as strangers, mm-hmm. creates a lot of meaning and purpose around and authenticity around that conversation.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think it's like one of the coolest parts of that, especially when you're thinking, well, first off, just knowing that you're going there to this thing called purpose-driven coffee, it's got a title that gives you a little bit of intention, you know, kind of understood there, right? But then to know that, you know, yeah, like, of course, we're meeting each other and meeting new people, and there's some networking that happens. This isn't going to be your typical networking event. Right. I mean, to go in with that understanding maybe immediately helps people open up a little bit. But I find that I probably have some of the like deeper conversations about work-related topics or not work-related topics at like industry events that I go to, where the people that I'm interacting with, usually in a smaller setting, I wouldn't do this up on a main stage or anything like that, but I can get a little deep with them. I can, you know, share some stuff kind of under the like safety net for me. This certainly wouldn't be everyone's experience, but for me, of like, I'll maybe see this person once a year, you know, at this event next year. Maybe I'll see them a couple times. Maybe I'll never see them again. So kind of like, you know, why not like open up a little bit and maybe learn something from them by opening up a bit too, to, you know, kind of give them the permission to share their experience with you. And I think you kind of get a whole different kind of learning, you know. Of course, going to an industry event, you're trying to learn about, you know, trends and, you know, new things that are happening in your industry, but you can learn a lot just from, like, we're also all just humans getting together too. You can learn a lot from those people. So I think it's, you know, wherever you are, whether it's something like purpose-driven coffee or, you know, a conference or, I don't know, something casual and social, might get exhausting to do it every time, but everyone should challenge themselves to be open to learning from people like that. It's a huge part of the human experience and we're all better because of it, you know?
It is. And similar to you, that's really where I find a lot of that meaning comes from and purpose is that human connection. And that's one thing I love about our industry, credit unions in general, is that connectivity among people, among other professionals, among other people who are drinking the Kool-Aid, and I forget what you called it in the beginning, but credit union enthusiasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Credit union junkie.
Credit union junkie. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, to me, when you can connect with people authentically and drop guard, and like a lot of times I think in day-to-day interactions are just so superficial that one thing, like purpose-driven coffee or these industry events you talk about work, is the fact that we're willing to let our guard down, perhaps under the guise that I'm not going to see this person tomorrow, right? But it just allows that human connection. And I think, to me, that's right there, that's the meaning of life. And that goes back into, you know, what we were talking about with Pat. I think Pat was so good at connecting on a human level with people. Mm-hmm. And that goes into each one of us leaving that 100-year manifesto, turning our life from a very finite experience into an infinite experience through the impact we make in others.
I'm really grateful we're having this conversation because, you know, I think about what I don't like about networking is, I'm not good at it, and I will admit that, because there is that superficial level that some people are extremely good at of, you know, knowing the right, the question to make the contact to make the sale. And don't tell my boss that I'm not good at this, but I'm not good at it. but what I am good at is a conversation like that, where, you know, once we get to that part of, you know, in my go-to line when I go to an industry event, and, you know, we're talking and trying to make contacts, is usually some version of, well, tell me what you love about your job. Which I would rather have that conversation than, you know, the thing, you know, I probably the thing that I should be doing, which is, you know, where do you get your print materials or whatever those things, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but Stu, I think the beautiful thing about what you just said, though, is that's what people don't want, a salesperson in their life.
Right.
Like my former CEO wrote right before COVID. So Amy Downs wrote this article for CU Insight about salespeople. And you get all these LinkedIn, can I just have 15 minutes of your time? Or even the people that put something on your calendar, that drives me nuts. They just assume you're going to meet with them during this time. But she wrote this article called, Can I Throat Punch You? Like, can I get 15 minutes of your time? Can I throat punch you? I've actually sent it to 2 or 3 sales folks in my time, the ones who've been super aggressive, like, hey, maybe you can benefit from this. But what you said, Sue, is you're trying to identify, build a relationship, essentially. And rather than identify needs through sales, mm-hmm. you build that relationship. And then from that relationship, you become a trusted advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more purpose, intentionality, and authenticity in what you're doing.
Yeah. As the person who in our organization might care the most about how good or poor you are at this, Sue, you are very good at it, because, and you're very good at it under what I would say is like a vision that aligns with our values as an organization. If we were just only concerned about dollars and sales and stuff like that, then yeah, we'd be hiring people that only speak that language and don't care about the relationship and stuff. And if, and also we should just acknowledge there are people out in the world that are like, get to the point. Like, I don't want to be your friend. Like, what you selling, you know? And hey, those people get what they want. those are probably not the kind of people that we would like to work with, you know, and that's okay too. You know, everybody's got their own things. So, I think that, like what Brent said, you know, when it comes to like relationship building, finding out what people love about their jobs, we'll get to the things that they hate about their jobs, which is probably where we can come in and help, you know, and that's exactly, the approach that I'd like to take as we're trying to continue to grow as a business. And I think that comes from credit unions, that comes from the movement, that comes from, you know, us, you know, being born of a credit union and working, for people's best interests when it comes to their finances and relationship building and all of those things that we just talked about. So, okay. Well, we've got to stop. We need to move on.
But we do have to stop.
Yeah. We have one more question before we start to wrap up. Brent, as you know, we're talking about purpose a lot. Purpose is something that we're spending a lot of time with because we're writing a book on the topic. And we've been asking this question to all of our guests for the last year. You've already articulated a lot of it, so maybe you can try and summarize it briefly for us. What would you say is your purpose?
Yeah, to me, that's really a great question. They would have appreciated that as a heads up. No.
yeah. We're back with beef.
Back with beef. Yeah, there we go. And tell Sarah I'm going to take her dog. No.
Okay.
Okay, we got it. Yeah. We'll give her the heads up.
Yeah, give her the heads up. No, for me, it's really trying to make an impact on those I come in contact with. And I particularly have a affinity towards the underserved in whatever, I mean, that word, I think, can be overutilized. But it can mean many different things in many different communities and many different contexts. So I am a type of person who roots for the underdog and really wants to serve those who might be left behind in whatever context that is. So for me, living a life for others very much is my at the center of my purpose. And that's my family, that's the credit union members, that's the community. Those are the credit union people in the credit union movement who need to hear more and more about the social good of credit unions through like the Credit Union Development Education Program. That's my purpose.
I love it. You did such a great job saying that with no heads up.
Don't bring that up again.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just wanted to rub it in. And one thing that we've learned is that purpose is constantly changing and evolving. So if anything about that didn't sound just right, well, you've got time and it'll probably change. So it's all good.
True story.
All right. Let's start to wrap up with our Something Awesome segment where we share recommendations for cool experiences, cool content, things we've done, things we've seen, anything we want to share. And I'm going to kick us off with a twofer. I couldn't pick this episode, so I have to share a couple things. So my rules, that's how
wow.
it goes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well.
So. First thing is this really cool, I guess it's an article, but it's in video format about this person who found photos in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and amongst a lot of other stuff. But she just started doing like some grassroots sort of web sleuth sort of work to just get photos out there, try and make connections to people that might be able to identify who's in the photos, where they're from, whatever. And we'll share the link to the video, but you know, it talks a lot about, you know, when these kind of things happen, like all that you typically see is the aftermath, right? And the destruction, and maybe you'll wind up seeing rebuilding or something like that someday, but something that you don't see are these moments where memories are you know, captured or, you know, reconnected with people. And, you know, in the digital world that we're living in, maybe this is less and less of a problem as more and more of these kind of things happen. But for some folks, these physical photos or physical things like this, mementos are really all that people might have as a connection to a relative, to a connection to an ancestor, a friend, whatever. So just some really cool examples and pictures that are shared in the video. You know, like there's one that sticks out in my mind of like a middle school basketball team. And it's probably fresh in my mind just coaching our son in basketball right now and thinking of how special that might have been for that coach, you know, to have that picture of his, you know, little middle school basketball team that he coached once upon a time. And that might be his only connection to them anymore, you know. So for people to be reconnected to that stuff, I think is so cool. So check out that video. It's a feel good thing for sure. In the category of memories and fresh off the holidays, I have to share a recommendation. They're not a sponsor yet, but there's this company called Remento that is a cool online platform where you sign up a storyteller. So in our case, all of my siblings, we split the bill on a subscription for my parents. And the way it works is every week for a year or as long as you want, we're going to do it for a year. They get a prompt with a question to tell a story, anything. You can create custom prompts. There's a whole library of prompts that Remento gives you to get you rolling. So like as an example, one of the first ones that they got was tell us a story about your wedding. And my mom is a very sentimental, sensitive, keepsake, memory capturer kind of person. She's like done a ton of scrapbooking in her life, always taking and sharing photos and things like that. And pretty good about telling stories too, of her past or youth and her childhood. But exactly what I had hoped to happen from this was something that happened by asking that first question about their wedding. I learned something new that as they were leaving, they were on their way to travel to their honeymoon, and they got married December 28th. So it was the middle of winter in Wisconsin, and roads were icy. They wound up hitting a patch of ice, spun in a complete like 360 and wound up like pointing the direction that they were going. And my mom in that moment said to my dad, so is this like an omen for our future, for our relationship together? And spoiler alert, yes, my parents have been through plenty of those 360 moments and whirlwinds and tragedies and all that kind of stuff. And from in my observation, they've always wound up pointing the right direction again. And so I just think it's like this really cool, just that one story is like this really cool, like microcosm of kind of like their whole relationship and our whole family, really, when you think about it, if you know us. But I'm so excited to see and hear the rest of the story. So you get the prompt, you actually record yourself telling the story, and then the platform takes it, shares it out with anyone that you've invited to be a part of it. But then at the end of the year, AI consolidates it all down and puts it into story form, and a hardcover book is printed. So we'll get a copy of like an actual book of these stories and stuff. So with pictures and everything too. So just so it's such a cool gift. It was like $90 or something. So like, you know, $10. We got a big family, so it wound up being like $10-15 a person. So if you've only got a couple siblings, maybe it'll be a little bit more, but cool gift idea, Remento, Remento.co. And maybe I'll share some more at the end when we've got a finished product.
Awesome.
Cool.
Super cool. All right, Brent, you're up. You ready?
All right. I'll cheat as well. There's three things that actually, three things in my notes that I didn't even cover, but all can be awesome. Well, one is actually the antithesis of awesome, in my opinion, but I think it's really important on the topic of purpose and purpose at work. Milton Friedman, who is a famous economist, wrote an article in the New York Times Magazine in 1970 called "The Social Responsibility of Business is to Increase Its Profits." One of the key themes is the business of business is business. And I would argue that this article is the antithesis to everything we're talking about today, and is what people want meaning and purpose in their work. But I think it's important to have a context of how we got to where we are today with in corporate America, and that's a good place to start. And that's why I mention it, and I think it's worth mentioning, even though I don't think it's awesome, I think it's an awesome read to get the context of where we are going and why these conversations that we're having today on purpose are very important. The second is more in line with purpose and is awesome. Building Your Company's Vision. It's a short article from HBR Harvard Business Review from Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, and Jerry Porras from the 90s. So I'm still going back in time. At first, I mentioned the 70s. Now we fast forward 20 years to the 90s. And that is about building a company's vision, building a company's core values. For instance, here at First Alliance, I actually have this shirt today with our new mission and our new values. So our new mission is we show up, listen to your story, and we provide possibilities. And our new values are passion, persistence, and presence. And based on this article from Jim Collins, actually a team of employees, we established a Mars group. Mm-hmm. Our entire staff nominate a group that they would choose who they feel embody what we stand for as an organization, the best of a representation of us. They would choose to send them to Mars to start the credit union on Mars. And so we took this group of people, sat them in the basement for 2 days, and came up with our new mission, vision, and values based on that article, Building Your Company's Vision by Jim Collins and Jerry Porras. And finally, my style of leadership is really trying to empower others. And a book that I think embodies that pretty well is Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, Living the Wisdom of the Tao by Dr. Wayne Dyer. I've been working with this book. So there's 81 verses of this ancient, I believe, Chinese philosophy, the Tao, Te Ching, 81 verses. And Dr. Dyer takes us through each 81 with a reflection. I do one a day. And a lot of it's about leadership and really empowering others. And so the goal of every leader is to help other people find a purpose and really help people say, in the end, it wasn't the leader who got things done. We did it ourselves. And to me, that's what that book entails and represents. And it's just a really awesome read and really fits, I think, this topic of purpose well.
Really good recommendation.
Yep. 10 points for each.
Yes. And that you can, Brent, you can use those points anytime you
Anywhere.
Want.
Yep.
Any at all.
No, those are awesome. I love that. And there's so much good stuff out there, books, content, whatever it might be. I love. I peek over at my bookshelf of the ones that I go back to every now and then that can just give you like that nugget to like keep you going, get your mind right for the day, whatever it might be. So it's cool. I mean, lots of good stuff there to check those out.
Well, speaking of books, I am really excited about the one that I just finished. I'm excited to share it with you, Ben, because I know that I don't know if you still are listening to Anderson Cooper's podcast. But
does he have additional seasons on it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I know, right? I was so excited. But you were the reason I started listening to that. And I came across a book that he wrote with his mother. It's called The Rainbow Comes and Goes. And it is a series of letters back and forth between him and his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt. And it covers, she talks about her early life and her life lessons. And they sort of, because, while they're writing it, he's a full grown, very intelligent adult. So they sort of volley back and forth about life lessons and how they're similar, how they're different in their family. And I learned so much about Gloria Vanderbilt and her early life and how that affected her. And it seems like she was so, by the point that they were writing this book, she was so in touch with to see the through line of how things early in her life created situations later in her life and how, the choices she made had affected her, and to be able to tell other people, you know, what those lessons were. It was really, really good. I finished that sometime in that weird hazy period between Christmas and New Year's.
Awesome.
So Sue followed the rules and just gave one example.
It's true. I'm nothing if not a rule follower. That is actually, funny thing, my middle name.
All right, fun. 30 points for you for following the rules. Apparently, I'm just handing out 30 points to everyone today. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. As long as I get as many points as Brent, that's all I care about.
Perfect.
Well, Brent, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah,
this
thank
was
you.
Delightful.
Yeah. Always good to see you. Always good to see a credit union friend and one that knows so many of the people in our circle and in our network. And I'm sure we'll see you in person, hopefully soon.
I hope so as well. Thank you for your time. Really enjoyed visiting with you.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime at all, buddy. So thank you as always for joining us, audience. You can always catch up on your favorite podcast app or by finding all of our episodes on our blog at exclamationcusa.com/blog.
You got it. Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome. See you next time.
The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.